Hamas is still launching rockets into Israel, despite 6 days of air raids. They're going deeper than ever into the country. One struck Ashdod, Israel's biggest port. And after an empty school was hit in the desert town of Beer Sheva, some residents were getting out of range. Fear is the most potent weapon Hamas has over Israel. More Israeli army reservists were reporting for duty. Army commanders want to send ground troops into Gaza. They believe that the Air Force alone cannot stop the rockets, and that the army will restore the reputation it lost after its poor showing in Lebanon in 2006. The soldiers are ready to go, and the diplomats are not. In the end, this will finish with some sort of ceasefire. But not yet. This was one of Gaza's hospitals. Israel hopes the people of Gaza will stop blaming them for what's happening to their children and start blaming Hamas. A humanitarian truce was rejected again by Israel's foreign minister. She says that there's no humanitarian crisis in the Gaza Strip.
Now its war has forced Gazans to choose between going hungry or risking their lives to get something to eat. We met Hiba in the queue waiting to collect a food ration for her 15 brothers and sisters and followed her home to the Shatit refugee camp. For the past 6 days, the family have not left their house, which is within target range of Israel's warships. The 7 children who live here can't sleep at night.
The sounds we hear are incredible. They are hitting us, normal people, with F-16 planes. A person who does that is not a human being. Refugee camps are hit all the time. We are flesh and bone. We cannot stand that. The walls, look at the walls. They shake like there's an earthquake. They can't stand that either.
Hiba showed me around her home and explained what life's been like trapped inside here for 6 days.
We don't have water. We can't wash anything, not even clean the fish we managed to get days ago. Look here, this is shrapnel from an Israeli missile that fell nearby. It broke the window. The Israelis claim they're not harming civilians or their homes, that Hamas is bearing the brunt of this war. Well, what does this look like to you?
I asked her if she blames Hamas for what's happening.
No. From the day I was born, I have seen missiles and attacks in Gaza. With or without Hamas, Israel punishes us. It's the same story over and over again, whoever is in control here.
All over Hiba's home is evidence of Israel's continuing assault and the effects on those they insist are not their targets. But there is evidence here, too, of resilience, a family sticking together through times of hunger and now through days of war, both imposed by Israel. In the hour we spent with Hiba, we heard 4 rounds of Israeli warships firing onto Gaza. As we said goodbye, the sounds of fighter jets hovering above us got louder, and she said she had a bad feeling. Minutes after we left, the Israeli military rang her home, warning the family to evacuate. The next round of fire was coming. Shireen Tadros, Al Jazeera, Gaza.
Well, our chief correspondent, Stuart Ramsey, is at the Kerem Shalom crossing with an aid convoy on the border between Gaza and Israel.
We're in Kerem Shalom. This is a holding area. It's a border crossing. Just to give you some idea of exactly where we are, over to that side is Egypt. Behind the camera is Israel. If I move out of the way of the camera, behind that blast wall that you can see is Gaza itself. Now, this, if you can imagine, is like a massive diving bell. What happens is that the Israelis allow the aid to come into this holding area where it is unloaded. These are medical supplies you can see here, and in the distance the trucks are unloading more medical supplies as well, but there's food coming in as well. What happens is that the Israeli side dump this aid here, and then in a short while, I'm not certain exactly when it'll happen because there are fairly stringent security checks that take place, dogs etc. are brought in, they're sniffing and they check that no arms or anything else is being brought in. They will then remove themselves from this area, and the doors at the far end in that blast wall will open, and Palestinian truck drivers will then come in from the Gaza side. They will load up the aid, they will then leave, and then it closes down again, and it goes on. We understand they're expecting to move about 100 truckloads today. It is a very long process, I have to say, and the aid agencies have made it clear throughout that this simply isn't enough. It's as good as they seem to be able to achieve at the moment, but it isn't good enough because there's not enough of it coming through, because it takes a long time from the initial process when the trucks arrive here, then they're screened, then they come into this holding area, as I say, then it's unloaded and taken away. But it is a start, I suppose. I have to add that the security officers here have been pointing out that it is very dangerous. They check the trucks that are coming from Gaza. They know there is a threat of attacks from Gaza into this holding area, even though it is aid going in, but it is a high-value target for Hamas. So it is quite a dangerous area for them to be working in. But the Israelis say they are showing the world as best they can that they are allowing aid in. Again, I would emphasize that the aid agencies say that it still isn't enough.
A little earlier, I spoke to Alan Fisher, who's on the Gaza-Israeli border, where rockets have been falling deeper into Israel.
We've seen the grey trail of smoke shoot out from Gaza, which means that a rocket is on its way somewhere to southern Israel. And almost immediately we get the Israeli response. What happens is the coordinates of where the rocket is fired from is fed very quickly into the Israeli computers, sent to the planes that are on patrol in the skies above Gaza, and they immediately respond with rockets or missiles to take that position out, and with the resultant loss of life. But not only that, we've seen the Israelis attack throughout the day. In the morning, they used around 20 aircraft in a sustained assault. And then after that, there have been a number of explosions around the northern edge of Gaza, really just softening up the ground, essentially, we think, for what may be a ground assault, which could come any time within the next 48 hours. And it's continued into the night. We're still hearing aircraft in the sky, still hearing explosions in the distance. So the sixth day of action continues, and continues at a much higher level than it has over the last 48 hours.